Are you warm? No? You should be after that Bills win last night. Some of you aren't as excited about it. I am excited about the Bills winning that game. And they not only won that game, they mastered that game, didn't they? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's always a pleasure to share God's word. And I want to just say, Amanda, that's the most anointed you've ever led worship. You did a fantastic job. And the whole team, thank you so much. You guys did a great job. My mom and dad are they're suffering this morning. They're in extreme difficulty this morning. I'm just kidding. They're taking the day off, and they're having a great time together. And I'm so glad that after, is it 45 years of marriage? Yeah, a long time. Longer than we've been alive, 45 years, that they're still enjoying themselves. Amen. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. I've been thinking a lot of, thank you so much, Sarah. Give Sarah a hand this morning. I've been thinking a lot about the term Happy New Year. Who's still saying that, Happy New Year? You're still telling people, no, not many of you. I'm thinking about the term Happy New Year, and I begin to think about it after the New Year and really the context of happy, about jovial, about excited, about full of encouragement and faith and hope in our lives. And I think sometimes when we make statements like Happy New Year, we kind of just say it tongue in cheek. You know, it's something that we're supposed to say to each other. But I want to just visit just for a second, not to discourage you, but just to bring some clarity to the season. It is 2 degrees this morning when I pulled in here. Amen. It is warm in here, but it's cold outside. And I read an article this week, and it said these words, that the third Monday in January, in particular in the Northeast, the third Monday, which happens to be tomorrow, is the most depressing, discouraging day of the entire year. How many of you knew that already? Because I didn't know that. And several psychologists wrote in this article that I was reading, and it said that they've dubbed and named this third Monday in January Blue Monday. And you say, Ryan, why do you share that? I share that because I've talked to a lot of people this week that have just said simply, would you pray for me? Well, what can I pray for in particular? Well, I'm just discouraged about X. I'm just discouraged about such and such. And I want you to know that there are a lot of contributing factors to the way you feel today. There's a lot that goes into maybe your state of mind today. I want to bring it back around though, out of a feeling and maybe back to a thought. And the thought is this today. We've been on a series. My dad's been preaching a series about turning around. Yeah, your spouse ever say to you, your parent ever say to you, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. And I don't know about you, for you, but it's been true for me before. I've woke up on the wrong side of the bed before. Maybe you've heard this statement before. Maybe you've heard someone say, you need an attitude adjustment. I don't know about for you, but for me, there's been some times that I needed just a little bit of an attitude. Any other dads in here, be honest, they just need a, some of you say, no, I won't be honest. I want to give you a thought this morning that turning it around, making that turnaround, sometimes it takes some thought, it takes some prayer. Obviously, we know that. But I want to center in this morning on a portion of Scripture, Joshua 11, and I want to bring some thought and context to the way we might feel today, or maybe you say, I'm. Dude, I'm great today. I feel fantastic today. Can I tell you something? There might be a point in your life where you don't feel fantastic. So just log this message away in your spirit, and you can use it later on. Joshua 11, it says these words, it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Medan, the king of Shimron, the king of Ashphoth, and the kings who were with We're from the north in the mountains, in the plain south of Chinneroth, in the lowland, in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, in the mountains, and the Hivites. And how many of you say amen? I'm glad I'm not saying all those words. Yeah. So they went out. Check this out. They went out, they and all their armies with them, as many as the sand that is on the seashore, in multitude, with many horses and chariots. And when all these kings had met together, they were camped together at the waters of Merom. And they came to fight against God's people, Israel. But the Lord said to Joshua, just say these words, but the Lord said. I want you to say it again, because I think some of you just said it because I asked you to, but I really want you to speak it into your life. I want you to speak it into your situation. I want you to speak it. This is my difficulty. This is my problem. This is my heartache. This is my circumstance. But the Lord said, I want you to try it one more time. But the Lord said to Joshua, and the Lord said to Steve, and the Lord said to Ray, and the Lord said to Ben, and the Lord said to Cheryl, and the Lord said to Brad, and the Lord said to Bill, do you know that the Lord is saying something to you today in particular? That you didn't just walk in here by circumstance or happenstance, but God has a particular word of encouragement just to press forward, just to continue on. Just a little pick. I just need my coffee for my pick-me-up. You need God's Holy Spirit for a little pick-me-up. He'll turn your mourning into dancing. He'll give you a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And I speak that over someone in this place this morning. The Lord said these words. Don't be afraid because of them. For tomorrow, about this time, I'll deliver them to you. You shall hamstring their horses, burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua and all the people of war with him came up with them suddenly to the waters. And I want to skip down to verse 12. And it says these words. So all the cities of those kings and all the kings, all their kings, Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded him. Many this morning are being attacked, and you might not be being attacked like Joshua. When the word of the Lord says, as many as the sand on the seashore, I think to myself, dear God, keep me from that. I don't want anything to do with a battle where there's as many enemies as there is sand on the seashore. I'll pass on that. But that's where Joshua is. And you might be facing sickness. You might be facing illness. You might be facing something maritally. You might say, I'm just discouraged spiritually. Pastor Tim Delina said last week, he said, there are many victories within God's church, but the battles are many. And the scripture says that I just read to you a simple statement. It says these words, and if you remember it, it says, it came to pass. And we must understand, in order for a turnaround to take place, that we must believe and receive the gospel message that every promise God has made to us and through us will come to pass. And I know for some of you right now, you're thinking, it sounds good, Ryan, but I'm older than you. I've walked this road longer than you have, and I just keep hitting this brick wall. I want to still encourage you, and I want to press back on that statement and just say, if God said it, He will perform it. He will make it come to pass. It shall come to pass in your life this morning by the grace of God. I want to use this subject, and it came to pass. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your great word this morning. Thank you for the ability to preach with nimbleness of thought. God, that your thoughts would come from my lips, that it would be Holy Spirit inspired, that you take me from the notes in my text, and you would take me in to a supernatural realm where you speak in such a way that it changes lives and changes hearts. I pray for encouragement this morning. I pray for a lifting. I pray, Father, for your goodness to be evident in your house. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In this book of Joshua, Joshua takes on a tremendous responsibility of caring for the children of Israel. And being a continuation to a man who spoke to God face to face. Think about the weight that you are carrying in continuing God's work here on this earth. You can think such and such was such a great, they were my Sunday school teacher. I remember Mrs. So-and-so, my mom will say, I remember Mrs. So-and-so used to teach me this song and she taught me this story. And I think that's fantastic. And I have 100 stories like that. But I come to tell you this morning that you have an assignment. You have a purpose. You have a destiny on your life. And you might sit here and say, well, I just come to church, Ryan. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Bible teacher. But I want you to know this morning that what God has for you, what God has in front of you, the destiny that he has for you is so important. It has such power. It has such relevance. And someone saying this morning, well, I haven't stepped into that yet. I just want to encourage you. In this new year, we want to start new groups. We want to start new small groups. Well, why do you want to do that? There's plenty of small groups, right? We want to give every man, woman, boy, and girl repeated opportunities to meet Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And you know people that we don't. Well, I don't know that many more people that you don't. If it's just for one person, we want you to start a group. God is sowing into your heart and into your spirit. Maybe it's a young adults group. Maybe it's a youth group. Maybe it's a men's group. Maybe it's a women's group. We've got all kinds of groups. The Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights at St. Anthony's. The Hope Class right out back here on Thursday nights. The men's groups that happen all throughout the week. But I want you to know God wants to use you to do something in particular in this season of your life. And God begins to use Joshua. Joshua doesn't use God. God uses Joshua. You know, that's such a relevant statement for the culture that we live in today. God, can you help me out with this? God, can you do this for me? We need to begin to pray. God, whatever you're doing, help me to have a realization that this is what you have for me in this season of my life. The scripture, as I read it today, is the reality that God, in his timing, allows us to do what he would want us to do and what he's promised us to do, and we must believe it will come to pass. Think about the generation of Moses. Think about that generation of people, the same children of Israel, but one generation older. You think about those people. You think about what God used them to do. What God used them to do was something different than he was using Moses and these people, and the same is true for you. God wants to use you in a particular way in this season. I just got here, Ryan. I've only been clean a year. I've only known the Lord a year. It's okay. He's got a place. He's got a purpose. He's got an assignment for you to do. We have a job to do. And you have a place to do it. It's right here in God's house. And God raises up different people for different seasons. And God raises up Joshua and that group of individuals in that season. And he fights 31 battles. Can you imagine being instated as the leader of an organization and you walk in there and they say, congratulations, Ben McDonald, you are now the general manager of Western Dodge in Rochester, New York. It is the largest Dodge store in the state of New York, but I come to tell you as well, you get to fight 31 battles before you really have a realization of the blessing that I have for you. How many of you want to sign right up for that? 31 battles. Not me. I don't really want to fight 31 battles. I don't want the difficulty, the heartache, the pressing, the pressure, the drama, the stress. You ever hear people say, I just can't handle that stress. I just don't want that stress. Can I tell you this morning that God gives Joshua and this group of people this mandate, Pastor Aaron. And with the mandate, he says, okay, here you go. Here's 31 battles. You'll have to go sword to sword, face to face. Yeah, Aaron goes, yay. That is the realization of this scripture. That is the realization of this text this morning. And he's a winner. He is a winner. And you are a winner. God's hand is on you in this season. God's hand is on your family in this season. You need to hear that this morning. That God has set you aside. God has set you aside to do the work of the ministry for an assignment, for a purpose in this season. Which brings me to my first point this morning. You and I will never do what we were created to do without resistance. I'm glad you say it, amen to it. Because when I wrote it, I thought to myself, dear gosh. There are people saying right now, I don't want to fight. I don't want resistance. I don't want any stress. But can I tell you this morning, the only thing that is worse than the resistance that you will have in your calling is being outside of your calling and feeling the emptiness of being outside your assignment. Did you catch that? Did you follow that this morning? I have seen so many individuals, and it breaks my heart at this point in my life. My dad and I, we'll get together and we'll pray and we'll have conversation and really what we're doing is we're training our hearts and our spirits to have this mentality of it's okay to have some resistance. It's okay to have some pushback. Can you imagine the resistance that we felt in the last 2 years? I'm not saying dad and I. I'm saying the congregation. I'm saying the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole has come against resistance. And great men of God, great women of God have continued on despite of it. They've continued in their calling. They've continued in their assignment with resistance on their heels. Start a family, you'll have resistance. Have a child, you'll have resistance. Go to college, you'll have resistance. Some of the parents with young kids are going, they got all hands and feet up. Yeah, amen. Do you know you could do anything and you could be anywhere? We can all find ease, but ease isn't in the direction of our calling. The closer you move to the calling and purpose that God has for you, the resistance will come. The enemy doesn't care if you're outside of God's will and outside of God's assignment and outside of God's calling. You might be sitting there right now saying, man, my life's kind of easy. Can I give you a little warning? You might not be in the purpose that God has for you if life is that easy. If you got some pressure, if you got some heat, if you got some pushback, you might be in the center of God's will for your life. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Romans 5:3 says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our resistance. We rejoice knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. I know this isn't that fun. We'll get to the fun part. James 1:12, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test of time, he'll receive the crown of life. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done all the will of God, you may receive what he has promised. Colossians, you may be strengthened in all his power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy. God is saying we're going to have resistance. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have difficulty, but it's not all bad. What God tells Joshua about resistance is this in Joshua 1:7. I love this. This just made me skip around my office. When I read it, I just went, I'm not kidding you. I literally went skipping around St. Anthony's as I read this week. It says these words, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. And it says this, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be careful to do everything written. Then you'll be, he says it again, then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. This is what God is speaking to Joshua, but he's not just speaking it to Joshua. He's not just speaking it to Ben. He's not just speaking it to Pastor Aaron and Pastor Marty. He's speaking it to you. He's talking to you. God is ministering to you, and he's saying, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. You know what he's saying? He said, don't listen to the naysayers. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your difficulty. Don't look at your problem. Fix your face forward to the author, to the finisher, to the beginning, to the end. Fix your eyes on the hills where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You'll do what God has called you to do, and you'll have resistance to go right along with it. Nothing great comes easy. Can I just tell you this morning? Sam and I have been married almost 18 years. And man, we are more in love now than we've ever been in those 18 years. But I'm going to tell you this morning, it doesn't come easy. Some people that have been married, you've got to have endurance. Some of you are elbowing your spouse. Tell them amen. You might not be in a battle like Joshua. You might be in a battle in your thought life. Someone might be speaking the wrong counsel to you. That's a thought life battle. Well, let's go out. Let's some pressure off. It's the first of the year. No. Don't start the first of the year on the wrong foot. Start the first of the year on God's foot. Keep this law. Meditate on it day and night. Stay to the work that you've been called to. All these scriptures go through my mind. Moses goes through my mind. Abraham goes through my mind. Daniel goes through my mind. Nehemiah comes through my mind. None of these people had it easy. They endured. Resistance comes. And the resistance changes from time to time. One time you're fighting for your marriage. Another time you're fighting for your kids. Another time you're fighting for the minute. Another time you're fighting for another family. The resistance comes, but it's worth the fight. The children of Israel are a group of people that knew their blessing was worth fighting for. In the first verse, it says, Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things. And if you go back through all the chapters, it says that nation after nation, people after people heard about the children of Israel and how blessed they were and the territory God had given them. They heard about Israel and they've heard about you. My second thought this morning is you need to know that hell has heard about you. What do you mean by that, Ryan? Can I tell you that your assignment is so great? Can I tell you that your purpose is so patterned to the will and the ability of God that if you walk in it, that if you're obedient to it, that lives and generations will be changed because of it. And listen, I could go around the room and I could prove a case. I could litigate a case right now that if you do what God has called you to do, that generations shift, that children's lives shift, that destinies come into alignment, not because of what they did or what they said or how they showed up or how their thought process was, but because of how you did it. You made the decision. You made the choice. Yeah, hell heard about me and I got some resistance. Hell heard about me and it's been tough, but you are amazing. You are called. You have a purpose. I need that image, guys. You have a purpose. You are important. I read this week, and it just so encouraged me, and I wanted to share. You're unique. You are kind. You are precious. You are loved. And when you operate in that, when you walk in that, when you engage in that, lives and destinies are changed for the kingdom of God. Quitting won't fix it. Getting mad won't fix it. Being emotional won't fix it. Fear won't fix it. This is what will fix it. Don't turn from the right or the left. Endure. Fixing our eyes forward. Staying to the work. And Jabin heard, and he gathers 10 nations, all the neighboring nations. And when I read this, I felt the Lord speak to me so clearly that you think that it's so bad and it's so difficult and it's so hard. And I'm not minimizing the way I feel or the way you feel in certain situations, but I want you to know this morning, it can always be worse. He's got an army coming against him, as many as the sand on the seashore. All the odds are against him. All the difficulty that he might be able to see is right before him, and he continues anyway. I tell you this morning, do it anyway. The more the resistance, the more anointed you are. The truth is, what you represent, God wants to do through you. Hell heard about. Do you really think that God wants to use you to bring salvation to his kingdom and hell doesn't know that? Hell knows the destiny, and God wants to use you to help people to get free of alcoholism and drug use and all kinds of addiction. You think that hell doesn't know that and they don't put an assignment on you for that? You need to continue anyways. Verse 4 says these words. They went out, them and all their armies, as many as the sand on the seashore, in multitude, with very many horses and chariots. The odds were against the children of Israel, and the odds may be against you. The odds may be against me. So the question is, when hell comes against us, what do we do when the odds are clearly against us? What do you do when you hear them spread rumors against you? What do you do when you can't handle one more thing? What do you do when they fill out papers to sue you? What do they do? What do you do when they lie? What did Joshua do when all these nations came against him? And what are you to do when hell comes against you? And this is what verse 6 says, but the Lord said to Joshua. But the Lord said, my third point this morning, whenever God sticks his butt into your situations, things begin to change. Let me wake you up this morning. I tell your neighbor, God's got a big old butt. Some of you won't even say it. It's okay. Things change. Things shift. Things turn around when God gets his butt involved. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but The Lord delivers them from it all. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. Joshua had this huge army come against him. All the odds were against him. It looked like he was going to lose, but he invoked this, God's but into the situation. Are you invoking God's but into your situation? Are you so gripped in fear that you can't even think to say, God, I need your help. God, I need your help in this. Don't let fear be your God. Let God be your God. Last week, my dad put up this picture of this goofy-looking lion. And he talked about how sometimes the enemy, the way it sounds, isn't the way it looked. And I began to think about lions. And a few months ago, I had been reading about the pack mentality of lions. And it was something totally unrelated to what I'm going to say this morning. But this is what happens with packs of lions when they hunt their prey. They send the oldest lion ahead if they see their prey in a valley, and the usually animals go to the valley to drink and to graze. And what a lion pack will do is they'll send the oldest lion around to the other side of the valley for one purpose, just to roar, to spook the prey out of the valley, and actually the prey ends up running right into the strength of the pack. They run from their fear. They run from their highest point, their greatest level of fear and anxiety. They run from it because they think if they head in the opposite direction that their safety is there. Here's what I'm here to tell you this morning. Your safety isn't in your past. Your safety isn't running in the opposite direction from your greatest fear. Your safety is running in the direction of your greatest fear. See, if the prey would have turned the opposite direction, the lion has no power to overcome the prey. But when you run from your greatest level of your field, you run right in to the strength of the pack. Let me give you an example. When I was 14 years old, the worship leader didn't show up to church. And my dad grabbed me by the hand and he held my hand like a boy. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Like, I remember my dad grabbing my hand, and it was a man's hand. You know, now my hand is a man's hand, Steve. But his hand was a man's hand, and my hand was a little boy's hand. And he walked me up to the pulpit, and he handed me a mic, and he said, "Lead worship." That would be like me telling you, "Listen, you're going to preach in 30 minutes from now, so have your sermon ready," and 10 times worse. What you don't realize is as a boy, even to be in a group of people would make me so anxious that if I didn't head to the bathroom, it would have been bad. That is the level of anxiety and anxiousness I had as a young boy to be around people. Not forget standing up here. I'm talking about even in groups of people. My brother will tell you. My dad walked me in to the direction of my greatest fear. And this morning, I preach to you. I share with you. I minister to you because someone walked me in to the greatest level of my fear. He walked me right at it. One more story. I remember at 30 years of age, I remember someone said, "Hey, you should take some classes, some Bible classes." And I thought, the first thing I thought to myself is, man, I don't want to go back into school. I was so fearful of just even to sit in a classroom. And I can remember the first day I walked into that classroom. I was shaken. I was so nervous. It's hard to put that into context, because I don't get that nervous, but that fear that the enemy instilled in my heart and my spirit is so real. Ever since then, I've been in a class every semester from that time forward. It's the most fulfilling. It's the most encouraging. It is exactly where God wanted me to be. What are you saying, Ryan? You need to head in the direction of your greatest fear. And my last point this morning, but the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid of them, for tomorrow I will deliver them all into your hand. My last point this morning is, sometimes you need to give it a day. I don't know about you, but do you react to everything or do you respond to things? Everything in your life doesn't deserve your attention now, in this moment. I like this picture. Do you react or do you respond? Do you give in a minute sometimes? I've been guilty of that many a time. What'd you say to me? What is that? What's going on? Reaction. And what God tells Joshua, he says, not tonight, not in 5 minutes, not in 20 minutes, but tomorrow. Wait for my plan to unfold. Wait for my providential will to come to pass, and I will give you the victory. Here's what he says. If you don't react and you respond, it'll end quick. And I felt the Lord so strong to share this with someone this morning. Maybe it's someone who's watching from home this morning. You've been in a battle. You've been in difficulty. You've been in a storm. If you'll just give it to the Lord said this to me, he'll end it soon. He holds the keys to when things begin and to when things end. In the storm you're going through, if you'll just give it to him, he'll bring it to a quick conclusion. If you don't react and you respond, I preach, I prophesy, I declare, I decree, I pray, I say, whatever battle you've been fighting, when you give it to him, he will put a limit, a time limit on when it shall be done. And your promise from God shall come to pass. The trouble won't last long. The weeping may endure for a night, but the joy of the Lord is coming to you in the morning. And the scripture says one more thing, and I'm done. It says that he hamstrung their enemies. I thought this was funny, Todd. Todd's smiling. Because Todd and I were playing dodgeball together. And we were pretty strong opponents, right, Todd? And we were going at it pretty strong. And, you know, Todd might be a little bit more athletic than me. Not much, but a little bit more athletic than me. It's a joke. He's much more athletic. And we're throwing these balls, and we're going at, you were there, weren't you? We're throwing these balls. We're going to town dodgeball. And all of a sudden, I saw him throw this ball, and then he leaned down to grab a ball. And all of a sudden, he froze. And his face was like, what happened was, is his hamstring broke. What am I telling you? The hamstring string is the strongest muscle in the leg of the opponent in this scripture. And what the Lord said is, I have the ability to hamstring the storm that you're facing, the difficult that you're facing, the problem that you're facing. God said, I'll hamstring your difficulty. I'm ending with this. My last thought in this scripture, you go look it up. I'll make you work a little. Matthew 17. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm thinking about this whole thing with Joshua and Moses, and I'm thinking, man, Moses got the short end of the deal. Joshua gets to pick up this assignment when Moses just did all the work. And Moses gets to look and gaze on the promised land. Did anybody else think this, or was I the only one that it came across your mind? Man, Moses got the raw end of the deal. And this is what came to me. This is what the Lord spoke to me. Some of you feel like you got the raw end of the deal. You ever feel like that? Man, I did a lot of work. I put in a lot of time. And all of a sudden, this other person just walks in and they get to experience the promises of God. And I begin to research Moses in the scripture that he gets a gaze of it from he just gets to look on the promised land. He doesn't get to enter in. But in Matthew 17, there's this moment where Jesus Christ redeems his past. Oh gosh, this is so strong. He redeems the difficulty. He redeems the past. And Moses and Elijah get to stand in the promised land. And I researched it. He was in the promised land. And someone said to me, well, was he dead or what? What was he? Well, you go read the scripture like I did. It said that they were there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And guess what Moses got to do? Guess what Jesus did for Moses? And he'll do the same thing for you. He'll redeem the mistakes of your past. He'll redeem what the locust and the cankerworm stole from you. And you'll get to gaze. You will get to live. You will get to experience the goodness of God that he promised to you. How many of you want that? Lift your hand in the house of the Lord. Father, I pray over each one. I pray for a realization of what they thought was lost. I pray for a clarity, Father, that there would be a calmness that sets, that there would be a peace that sets on your people, Father, in this season, that you're working it all for our good. We believe that with all of our hearts, all of our soul, that it shall come to pass. I declare it over each life. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you so much. I pray you were encouraged this morning. It'll come to pass. It will come to pass. Can I get more than one amen? It will come to pass. Your children, your marriage, your household, your calling, it shall come to pass in Jesus' name. I love you so much. Those who have joined us from home, we hope you're feeling better. We hope you're doing great. We'd love to see you in person. We'll be back at 12 noon. Have a great week. And one more thing I got to say, it's been working thus far. Go Bills. Amen.